welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Noor. For more information and great content, jump over to our website at elamchurchchristchurchcity.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to start this morning by reading a quick story. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer contractor of his plans to leave the house building business and live a more leisurely life with his wife, enjoying his extended family. He would miss the paycheck, but the time was right, and he was ready to hang up the hammer. His boss was disappointed. As the carpenter was a loyal and diligent worker for a number of years. So he was sad to see him go. He asked one more favor of this carpenter, and he requested that he fulfill one more building project before retiring. The carpenter reluctantly agreed and began work. But as some might assume, his heart wasn't really in it. Anybody been in their situation where you're just about ready to go on holiday and you're really just trying to count down the hours? Yeah. So his heart wasn't really in it as he began the work. He restored a shoddy, an old home and with shoddy workmanship, used inferior materials. And it was unfortunate that he would end such a dedicated career in this way. When the carpenter finished his work, his boss came to inspect the house and then, to his surprise, handed the front door key to the carpenter. "This is your house," he said. "This is my gift to you." The carpenter was shocked. There's a moral to this story. Many of us, we go through the process of building our lives. We put in the effort in the very beginning of our days, but let me tell you, it is our duty to stay faithful to the end. Amen. That in our lives, there is actually so much more to learn and to grow in. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5 and verse 37, it says this, that no one pours new wine into new old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. I believe that this is a picture of God's intention for every follower of Christ. Amen, somebody. That you are the wineskin. God's wanting to pour new things into your life daily. I believe it's a daily thing. That he wants to give you experiences and encounters that are new every day. The Bible says that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. They're new every day. So you can have a fresh encounter with the Lord each and every day. You actually don't have to rely on yesterday's encounter or yesterday's anointing or yesterday's blessing. You can be excited in today. Amen. And I believe that's how God wants us to be. But in order to receive this new blessing, you actually have to become, in some ways, a new vessel for the Lord. You cannot just maintain the old, the status quo, and expect to receive the new things of God. Actually, He will only, I believe, He only gives us what we're capable of, what our capacity allows, and no more than that. But it's as we become new vessels in the Lord that God is able to pour in more things for us in our lives. Amen. I believe there is something to be said about a depth of hunger for each and every individual that leads us to receiving the fruit that is available to us. Last week, Sue Doyle preached an amazing message. How many loved that message last Sunday? She talked about the seed. In the prayer meeting this morning, as we were praying, I got this picture of that sermon last Sunday, and I saw the seed being planted again. Actually, what I did see was a tall tree, like many of the trees that are at the botanical gardens in Hagley Park. I saw one of those big old oak trees standing tall and strong. The early designers of that garden planted those seeds not for their benefit, but for the benefit of the generations that were to come. They knew, they understood that what they were planting, they would never see the fruit of. But they planted it anyway. Why? Because they were believing that one day there would come another generation that would benefit and be blessed by what they had toiled for. Amen, somebody, you getting? It ties in really nicely with how Anzac is, that these New Zealanders, these Aussies and Kiwis, they left their homes, they left the safety net of their homes, their farms and their city homes, and they traveled to a place they had never been before. Many thousands would never return. But they believed in what they were doing was for the generations to come. They understood that their sacrifice, their duty was to protect not just their current generation, but the many that would follow after that. That around the world, that we were at a crisis point. Is anybody hearing this morning? And I love this picture. That we're building something, like the carpenter. Come on, you got to believe you're building something that's not just for you. Well, it was for him, but he didn't know that. But we are building something called the church. And it's really not for us. I mean, we could sit around this and enjoy, lock the doors, don't let anybody else enter, and we'd just sing Kumbaya around a campfire. And life would be pretty simple for a short time. Why? Because I would be the first to escape that kind of a setting. You know, I couldn't think of anything more worse. But we are supposed to grow. We're supposed to see new things. The blessings of the Lord are new. God's wanting to pour new wine into new wineskins. There is a new word for each and every one of us. Amen, somebody. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been going to the gym my whole adult life. Amen. I know you go, wow, new. You look like you've been to the gym your whole entire adult life. Thank you very much. I know that's what you're thinking. And I've seen the trends over the years. I've been around long enough now to see the trends of the different types of fads that would come into that arena. I investigated and I found out that in the 50s, the most popular exercise was hula hoop, was to do the hula hoop. Amen, somebody. That is terrible. No, I'm not going to show you. That's like, you don't want to see that. In the 1960s, it was the vibrating bout. No one remembers that one. And then in the 70s, jazzercise. What is jazzercise? Is that a musical genre? I have no idea. And then in the 80s, there came aerobics. You guys remember aerobics? In the 90s, it was, get this, Tai Bo. Who remembers Tai Bo? Come on, give me a wave. Who did Tai Bo? That's what I really want to know. Tai Bo. Tai Bo, the 90s was filled with spinning classes. In the early 2000s, it was Zumba. Oh, so now everybody's awake now. So you're all 90s kind of people. Okay, I get it. All right. After Zumba in the 2010s, it was CrossFit. CrossFit. Oh, my goodness. Now we're getting torturous here. And then in the 2020s, it was HIIT, which stands for intensity interval training. HIIT classes, you know, they should be more like HURT classes. Amen, somebody. Not HIIT classes. You know, I remember, I won't name names, but let me just call him a friend. A friend of mine was kind of seeing this girl in Wellington, and so he wanted to really impress her. She was in a step instructor. You know, step aerobics with a box? Yeah, that's called step, you know. And anyway, and so he would go to Les Mills and join a class. One time he said, "Nu, can you just come with me? I'm really interested in this girl and I want to really impress her." So me and another went along with him to this step class. Now, I just want to say I've never done step before in my life at this point. And so I went to the step class. And it was a room full like this. I mean, there were literally 30,000 people in this room, you know. It was just full. And there she was with the microphone, and she said hi to us before the class started. And so my friend and the other friend and me, somehow, I don't know how this happened, but we got pushed to the front of the group. And I got pushed to the center. And this is me, I've never done this before. And so anyway, I'm in this center, the music is pumping, everybody else knows what's going on, and I'm trying to catch up with them. And the whole time, this was like a half hour to a 1 hour class, the whole time she was speaking through the microphone, "Come on, Noo, you can do it." You know, I love encouragement. I love edification, you know, but there are times when I just don't say my name one more time. And I was like, all the eyes were on me. Amen. Just like now, anyway. I don't know why I shared that. That just felt like a really good story to share. That's right. We're talking about exercise, right? We're talking about new things. But praise God, you know, step is out now, right? Amen. Everybody's going back to the hula hoop. All right. There we go. A number of years ago, a prophet by the name of Len Butner came to our church. Len is a wonderful man of God. He's based in Auckland, and he carries the office of a prophet. I've been in meetings with him where he would point you out in the crowd and just speak a word that no one else knew, but it could have only been God. It was like he could read your mail, you know. That's why, you know, most of the time you try not to make eye contact with him. Amen. You know, you don't wear the brightest shirt you could find. You know, just try. Anyway, a number of years ago, he sent me a letter. It was an email. This is what I really wanted to share this morning. And this is what he sent me. He said, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me about your church and your ministry this morning. I believe you and your church are entering a season of unprecedented fruitfulness. While the battle has been huge, you would feel like the mountains before you, and you would feel like there are mountains before you at times. I hear the Lord say," and this is, then he quoted Zechariah 4:6, and this is what it says. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth.'" Then Len went on and he said this, "My encouragement to you is to shout grace seven times in victory over every obstacle and adversary that has been preventing your growth and the call to build. You will fulfill your God-given inheritance for Christchurch. You have a mandate to speak words of life and healing over your church and city. The word of the Lord will not return void from your mouth, but it will accomplish all that pleases God, and it shall prosper in the thing for which the Lord sent his word to do. Blessings and regards, Len." Amen. I tell you what, when I read that the first time, I had to read it 100 times actually, I was just so excited. And I've sat on this for the last few years since he sent it to me. I've just, you know, often with the prophetic, you know, you if you're given a word, it's really an unknown thing. You're like, what do you do with it? You know, what do you do with the word when somebody gives it to you? And it sounds so good. And number one, you like the Bible teaches us, you test the word. You test it. Does it Does it resonate with your spirit? You don't have to receive every single prophetic word that somebody gives you. Amen, somebody. If it doesn't sit with your spirit, then you can reject it. You don't have to accept it. But this particular one did. So I received it. Then I went to the word for myself, and I you asked the question, does this align with scripture? And of course it did, because most of it was scripture. And then the third thing is you seek others and you ask them, say, hey, I just got this word from Len. What does that feel like to you? What's sound like to you? And once you get that confirmation, you don't have to do anything else. You just let God be God. Amen, somebody. You don't have to now initiate a building program or a building project or anything. You just let God be God. He's just preempting what he's going to do in your life. Really, the prophetic is to encourage you to keep going, that you are on track and there is something for you just ahead. So keep on going. Amen. And so what I felt like this morning was just to look at this word in Zechariah, because I just felt like it's a positive word, an encouraging word for us all. Like Sue said, you know, the word is the seed planted in your heart. And I feel like there is a word that has been planted in the heart of this church. And it resonates with the words that have been spoken over this church in decades gone by. You know, many people have come through and sat where we sit and given prophetic words that actually are in similar thread or in alignment to what Len spoke. So that's exciting. So let's look at this passage real quick before we finish today. It starts off by saying this. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to go and do your own research. Who is Zerubbabel? Just really quickly, he was a governor of Judah. He was a person that was born in exile, and he was one that was born into the line of King David. His grandfather was actually a king. And even though the whole nation of Israel was in captivity, his grandfather enjoyed a lot of benefits, actually sat at the table of the king. He was stripped initially of all of his authority and all his power, but towards his grandfather's later years, he was given a place at the table of the king. And so Zerubbabel, who was the grandson, would have grown up with a lot of creature comforts. Are you guys getting this picture? He would have grown up with a lot of affluence and also influence, prestige and notoriety. He would have been known. Why? Because he was the grandson of a king. You guys got that? All right. And so the second thing we need to know about Zerubbabel is God spoke to Zerubbabel and gave him the mandate to go and rebuild the temple. Now, Ezra and Nehemiah are books in the Old Testament that were focus on this time, and their accounts reveal exactly what Zerubbabel was charged to do. You guys still with me? And so if you remember, it was Nehemiah that was given charge of rebuilding the wall, but it was Zerubbabel that was given charge to rebuild the temple, and this was all happening around the same time. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to encourage us all this morning is this, that just like Zerubbabel, we need to remind ourselves to keep following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says here in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I believe that we as a church, and this is the goal for every believer. Remember, God's wanting to pour new wine into new wineskins. So you've got to increase your capacity to understand this teaching, that God actually wants you to live a life that is spirit-led. You get that? You can live a life that is led by your own understanding, by the generation before you on how to do life, but there's also a way to live your life in the Spirit that is governed not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. As you become awakened to the things of the Spirit, you become awakened to the promptings and the leadings of the Spirit. Once you were asleep to the things of the Spirit, you did not understand it. It was hard for you to comprehend. But as you've become awakened, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were baptized by full immersion, but you're also baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're now living a life that is disciplined life, called the life of a disciple, a follower of Christ. And within that context, God is wanting you to develop an ear for what the Spirit would say to you. That's why Scripture tells us, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit would say. Let's not just rely on what the words of men tell us, but let's be led by the Spirit. Are you guys hearing this morning? This is not new stuff, but this is kind of information that I want to relay to you. Why? Because I see many of our followers of Christ doing life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you can do life without it. It's easy. You just keep living according to your own understanding, your own knowledge, your own wisdom, or the wisdom of men and women before you and their understanding. But there's also a supernatural wisdom that's available to you as well. But you've got to knock on the door of that and open it in order to access that. Are you guys hearing this morning? Romans 8 and 14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. John 16, it says, when the Spirit comes, or the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Here's really where it meets rubber meets road. Are you, this is a rhetorical question, so don't answer it. Are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit daily in your life? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to direct your steps? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to give you insight into what is ahead in your life? Remember, the Holy Spirit's not governed by space, time, and matter. He is Spirit. So he steps outside of the framework of time, space, and matter. And he can peer into it, and he can and tell you what's ahead and give you warnings and give you direction and give you promptings. And it is up to you to then hear his voice and direct your lives accordingly. Are you guys hearing this morning? We run into trouble many times in our lives. Why? Because we fail to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is really primarily why we run into trouble and make bad decisions, is because we have become numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit, or dull to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, well, I've yet to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in an audible way. But often, for me, it's a feeling, it's a nudge. There's a prompting in my spirit. There's something just drops, like one word. I'll get one word, and that word would be enough, you know, for me to govern my life. Like, I remember a number of years ago, again, this man, Len Butner, came to our church, and he prophesied over me, and he challenged me to fast for a few days. I did. After that, I fasted for a few days, and at the end of it, I got the word, be faithful in the little, and you'll be faithful in much. That was a powerful word at the time for me. I look back now, and I go, Lord, oh, I'm so thankful that I was obedient to that word. Are you guys hearing this morning? I want to challenge us all, be obedient to the, hey, there's Josh and Jess. Hey, Josh and Jazz, come on, give those guys bigs. Oh my goodness, I just saw a whole row of people I know. Give these guys a big hand. So good. If you guys are here, who's the Nomaru? No, I'll talk about it later. I'll ask you, yeah, next week. So it's the promptings of the Spirit that we need daily in our lives. This is not rocket science, guys. This is supposed to be how we live the Christian life. Daily occurrence. Like you wake up, you have your Weet-Bix, you put on the telly. There's got to be times in your day where you just pause and you say, Holy Spirit, speak into my life for today. I just need direction forward now. And you've got to make it a daily thing in your life. That's why the Bible teaches us that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Because you can't do it on your own. Don't worry, many people try, many people will continue to try, but let me just remind us all here this morning, it does not work. You need the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life. Amen, somebody. The second thing is this, this passage reminds us about, is that we've got to speak over our situation. Now, verse 7, it says, Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, let me leave this up for a minute. The capstone we know to be Jesus. Amen, somebody. Jesus is both the cornerstone and the capstone. So the cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in the building of a structure or the building of a wall. It is the stone by which everything else is aligned. It is the first stone. Jesus is both the cornerstone and he's also the capstone, the very last stone in place. Amen, someone. That means he's the first and he'll be the last. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. All right. But it says here that we are to, this is in the first person. Who are you, O great mountain? This is first person speaking to a situation. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of joy, of grace, grace to it. When Len sent me this email, I literally did this, Jen, you'll remember, there was a number of people in a prayer meeting, and I said, okay, I just got this word from the prophet, we're going to shout grace seven times. It felt really awkward, it felt really dumb, but we did it anyway. You know, I was like, really, this is really weird, but we're just going to sing grace, 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 you know, and I was trying to count with my fingers. But here is a blueprint for what we as followers of Christ are continuously supposed to be doing. Number one, we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but number two, we speak over our situation. Come on, there's power in declaration. You've got to speak to your mountain and command it to become plain in the name of Jesus. Many of us here today, we've become silent in our faith. We've become silent. Our faith has become introverted. It's become very reflective. And I speak on the inside, you know. It's like, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, no, the Bible says you got to shout unto the Lord. That you sing unto the Lord a new song. That you declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You open your mouth and you speak out what is in your heart. Amen, somebody. Yeah, that's why I make no apologies for getting loud and getting excited. Why? Because there is power in speaking over you this morning. As I declare over these words over you, the word of God, some of it, the word of God does not return void. It fulfills that which is sent out to fulfill. It is penetrating like a double-edged sword through bone and marrow. It is penetrating into your heart. How do I know this? Because I believe what the word says. And the Bible teaches me that the word became flesh and he dwelt among men. So we've got to keep speaking the word. Amen, somebody. Come on, if you don't know what to say, the Bible teaches us in Psalm 118, you know, that we're to declare his love endures forever. Come on, if you don't know what to speak over your life, just say his love endures forever. This morning, tomorrow morning when you get up, just say his love endures forever. Keep declaring it over your day. His love endures forever. No matter what comes at me, his love endures forever. No matter whether I'm hungry or I'm full, his love endures forever. No matter where I'm sick or I'm well, his love endures forever. Is anybody hearing this morning? It is time for the church to no longer be silent. Come on, Kiwi culture, we're so passive sometimes. That's why, praise God, I'm Italian. Okay, I just lied. I'm not Italian. Come on, we got to shout unto God. Come on, we got to. The Bible says that the power of there is power in the tongue. Power of life or death is in the tongue. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you renew your faith? You keep declaring it so that you will hear it. Are you guys getting this morning? Come on, we got to keep speaking over your children. Come on, parents, listen to me. Come on, everybody else is speaking over your kid, whether you realize this or not. When they go to school, people are speaking over them. Their teachers are speaking over them. Their classmates, whether they're true mates or not, they're speaking over them. When they go into social media, people are speaking over them. So you got to supersede all of that. Come on, you got to trump all of that and say, no, this is the voice that is more important than any other voice. I'm speaking over my children. Come on, I remember when my kids were babies, when they were, you know, just these little things. I wish they were still like this, you know, that'll be. But we would pray for our children. Say, Lord, we thank you for these girls. We thank you, Lord, that you brought them into our lives. We declare the purpose and the promise of God over them. Lord, that your word is true, that there is a plan for them, a plan to give them a future and a hope. In the name of Jesus, there, I call it out of them. When was the last time you did that? Come on, you mums and dads. Dads, can I speak to the dads for a minute? Mums, you just relax. Dads, you're the head of the home. You're the authority in the house. You take control of your home. Come on, you speak over your home. You speak over your house. As for, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on, dads. This is not something you can defer. This is your responsibility. Maybe there's no dad in the home. Well, then, mums, you take up the charge. Amen, somebody. No father in the home, no father figure, then you take up the charge and you speak. Come on, in the authority of the name that is above every name, I speak over my household. You guys hearing this morning? I'm way past time. Let me keep going just for a little bit longer. Is that okay? I love the prophetic because I feel like in these days, the prophetic is going to become clearer and clearer, and it's going to give us direction on how the church is supposed to move. I really believe that. I believe there are voices that are going to rise up in this season that are going to be clear voices speaking to us as, number one, individuals, number two, as a body of believers, but two, three, and this is the big one, as a nation. I really believe that there are going to be voices that will rise up, yeah, in little old New Zealand, that there will be voices to speak into an entire nation. How do I know that? Well, that's what the Bible says. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, where your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both male and female, they're going to prophesy too. So if I believe that, I believe that there is the prophetic being released. And it kind of was. Since the time of Acts chapter 2 till now, the Spirit has been released. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Let me just finish what I got to say, okay? Cool. Yeah, let me bypass to the last, second to last point. Is that all right, guys, on the back? Let me land here. Verse 9. In the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Here's something you need to know. Zerubbabel, this governor of Judah, began the work of restoring the temple. But there were many opposing voices within Jerusalem already. Not all the Jews went with them into exile. Many were left behind, and they became dissenting voices when the exiles return. When Zerubbabel began the building of the work, they initially offered to help, but when they were declined, they began to rebel against Zerubbabel. It brought discouragement to him that for 16 years, he stopped building the temple. Here's what I want to say. Are you going to let those opposing voices stop you from fulfilling the call of God on your life? Because Zerubbabel, this God-sent leader with an entire a body of believers that went with him, the minute opposition rose up, he stopped. And it took a prophetic voice to challenge him. That was actually this voice here, Zechariah, to rebuild again. What I want to say to us here is that God is not finished with you yet. Amen, somebody. He who began a good work in you is going to see it through until completion. Come on, he's molding you, he's shaping you. You're not there yet. You're still a work in progress. Amen. If anybody thinks they're there yet, just fly around the room for a minute. You know, no, we're all a work in progress. We all got our faults, we all got our weaknesses, we all got our things that we're working on. But in the spirit, we work on those things, we make all those things submissive to the name of Jesus, and we move beyond those things because we don't rest in those things, amen. And we move beyond that into the place where we can begin to fulfill that which God is calling us to fulfill. Are you guys getting all this? God's wanting to finish a work that he's begun in your life. I believe there are dreams. I was saying to the team before the prayer meeting, Sam, you come up and help me finish. I was saying to the team in the prayer meeting, this week I had a really great meeting with, it was a person in the city who's quite affluent and influential, and I showed him around this place. And as I was talking with him and showing him this place, I was saying, oh yeah, we've got dreams, we want to do this, we've got ideas for that, we've got plans to do this, and we're thinking of doing this. And like I was saying to him for half an hour, so I was just saying all these things, you know. And then he just kind of stopped me in my tracks and he goes, man, you've got a lot of ideas, you've got a lot of dreams. And I said, yeah, that's just how God's wired me to be. I just believe there are things that are yet to happen that have been dormant for a while. Amen, somebody. That's how I see this church. It's like, yeah, we God had his hand on this church and he's not done with it yet. And he hasn't forgotten. But I believe it's time, Zerubbabel, and to you, the Zerubbabels in the room, to pick up the tools again and begin to rebuild. Are you hearing this morning? I believe there is exciting days for us as a church. I know that sounds so cliche, the best is yet to come, but I actually believe that. Why do I say that? Because that's how God views life. That's how God views our things. That there is so much more. He's wanting to pour new wine, new anointing, new strength, new vision, new dreams, new hope, new passion. But in order to receive that, we've got to become new vessels. New, how do you do that? How do you become a new vessel? I look in the mirror every morning, I see the same person looking back. This is how you do it. You just speak to the Lord and you say, Lord, renew my mind, renew my heart. Let me see what you see. Let me receive what you want me to receive. I pray that seed that was planted in me long ago, you have not forgotten. Your word in my heart, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will water that seed and you're allowed to grow to become all that you intended for it to become. You hearing this, church? I'd love for you just to close your eyes here this morning. God's not done with you yet. You might have thought you gave it a shot, and it didn't pan out the way you expected it to pan out. Maybe it was a relationship that was supposed to be the relationship, but it didn't turn out that way. Maybe it was a job, a career. Maybe it was a ministry. Let me tell you, God's not done with you yet. If there's still breath in your lungs, blood still flowing through your body, He's not done with you yet. There's still time. There's still time. So here this morning, as we kind of bring this time to a close, I want to do two things. I want to give you a moment just to sit before the Lord and just to ask Him to renew you, renew your mind, renew your heart. Maybe for some of you, it means a renewing of your commitment to follow Him so that you become this new vessel, a building where the Holy Spirit dwells within.
This has been another great message from Elim Church, Christchurch City. For more content and updates, come see us on our Facebook page or jump over to our website. Thanks so much for listening.